evening. It's a beautiful day. I hope you had a restful afternoon. I know we had a great time at the nursing home, encouraging the older folks there, and always good to sing songs of praise to the Lord and give Him the worship. Just a quick announcement. Next Sunday night, we won't be here. Actually, this building is going to be empty next Sunday night because what we're doing is have our normal AM service, and then after that, we'll be going to the Nordville Park for a cookout for lunch, and then we'll have an afternoon service outside. And so that's the plan. And so we won't have an evening service next Sunday night. Otherwise, I think that's about it. Just a reminder, though, the church will be providing hot dogs, hamburgers, buns, table service, all the beverages, and then you can bring two side dishes. And whether that's a salad or chips or whatever goes good with hot dogs and hamburgers. And then bring folding chairs, too, if you prefer a folding chair over like a picnic table, and get a little something more comfortable. Or outdoor games, if you have anything that you think would be fun there. And just pray for good weather. I was looking at the 7-day forecast, and it had 90 degrees for Sunday. So hopefully it cools down a little bit or moderates, or we have a nice breeze. But we'll just trust the Lord on that one. And if it's too oppressive, we can always, postpone it. We don't want everybody melting out there. So we'll just see how things are. But that's the plan for now anyway. And so look forward to a good time there. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here this evening. I do praise you for the good time that we had this afternoon at the nursing home. Thank you for those older saints there. Especially I think of Hazel and her service to you. I pray that you'd comfort her even as she wants to go home to be with you. And I pray for others that are in that situation as well. I think especially of Bob Burkhart. I pray that you'd comfort him. Thank you for his godly testimony. Even do pray for Maud too. I think of Chuck and Karen too, especially Chuck as he'll be moving here soon. And many others too we could pray for. But I do thank you that you want us to pray, that you are a God who loves to answer his prayer. And do pray even as we look into your word, as we sing songs of praise. I pray that your name would be exalted. I pray that our hearts would be encouraged and challenged. So we do pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I invite you to take your blue hymnals and turn to hymn number 461 this evening. 461. We'll stand together as we sing, He Leadeth Me. Hymn number 461.
Thank you.
And we'll turn over to hymn number 350, 350, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. Excellent singing. Let's turn over a few pages here to 354, 354, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
Thank you.
turn over to 368. Trail back a few pages. 368, All for Jesus. Will be our next one. 387. Oh, to be like thee. 387.
Thank you.
took a note there, you notice what Pastor's message title is this evening, Jesus Never Fails. And I'm sure that you have gathered from listening to what we have been singing, assuming that you have been listening to what we've been singing, that the reality is that no matter what happens, no matter what kind of condition we may be in, I think of just the other night. As you all know, our basement flooded, right? And a lot of you had the same problem. And it was because the power went out and the sump pump couldn't run. And then that's a horrible thing. Now, they don't give me one of them foot pump ones, you know. So I couldn't put the boy to work. Believe me, if it had one, I would have done it. But you know, it's interesting that before the power went out, we had, and you guys have probably experienced this before, but we had a bolt of lightning that hit so close to the house. Now, I don't know where it hit because I haven't been able to find the tree that it split, okay? But it hit close, all right? And we heard the crackling, and we heard the thunder before we saw the flash of the lightning. That's how close it was. One of those, right? Okay? Now, my dear little daughter, she has a thing about thunderstorms. Okay, and I didn't get her permission to tell this story, but that's okay. She can beat me up later. She happened to be coming across the hallway because she was already scared. She happened to be coming across the hallway, and as she came into our room, she let out this war whoop. Now, we are part Indian, Apache as a matter of fact, but I didn't realize it had worked its way out in her voice. She let out this war whoop that I tell you what, and she's going to be embarrassed and everything, but it's okay because there'll be a point behind this, it's alright. She let out a war whoop that I tell you what, it lifted me out of the bed. You ever got a phone call in the middle of the night, you know, and you're sound asleep and the phone rings, bang, you know. It was worse than that. This thing lifted me out of bed, and unbelievable. Okay, and you say, now what? Why in God's name are you telling that story to embarrass your daughter? No. Now think about it. Even in the face of all the difficulties, whether it's water in your basement or the fact that you're afraid of lightning or whatever it is, that no matter what the condition is, Jesus never fails. Okay. The power may go out and your sump pump may not work, but you don't have that problem with Jesus. You know, his power never fails. He's always plugged in, if you will. Okay, you don't ever have to worry about the lights blinking with him. He's always there. Okay, his power never fails. Now, that's a simple truth. But we take for granted that when we go to the light switch, because if you're like me, the other night when we were celebrating the kids' birthday, the power went out. We just sat down for dinner, and the power goes out for 2 hours. For what reason? I do not know. No thunderstorm, nothing going on. So here I go out to the shed, get out the generator, fire up the generator because I don't want to flood the basement again, and plug the stupid sump pump in and get it running. Now, what was the purpose behind that? And you call MidAmerican Energy and they just tell you, they don't know anything. Well, of course they don't. Okay? But you don't have that problem with Jesus, do you? You don't have to get on the phone and call MidAmerican and say, look, Lord, we don't know why the power is out, but we want you to fix it. It doesn't happen like that, does it? No, the power is always there. It's always plugged in. You don't have to go out and get the gas and put it in the generator and pull the string and all those kinds of things. It's always there. And it never fails. And it's a very simple truth we take for granted. Go into the restroom. This is this last Tuesday or last Monday night. Go into the restroom. What do? Power's out. What do? Push the button. Did the light come on? No. Why'd you push the button or flick the switch? Do you ever wonder that? Well, okay, it's habit. You just assume it's going to be there, don't you? But it's not always there, is it? Whereas with Jesus, no matter what the situation is, you can flick the switch, you can push the button, whatever the case may be, and the power is there. You just have to make the choice to appropriate that power. Don't you? Isn't that a simple truth? But it's something that we take for granted. Let's turn back to hymn number 339. Jesus Never Fails Us. 339, we'll stand together as we sing finally this evening, Since I Have Been Redeemed. seated.
Amen. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. We have been redeemed with a price, a precious price, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we do thank you for our redemption. Thank you for Jesus Christ, who is unchanging, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you that Jesus never fails us. So even as we look into your word, I pray that we'd find encouragement there and challenge as well. So we do pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you rejoicing in the Lord this evening? I hope you are rejoicing in the Lord. Because God is so good to us, right? Is God good to us? Amen. Even though we may be going through the most difficult of trials, God is still good to us. God has given us so many promises in His Word. You know, it's amazing. We really can't even number them by memory, can we? God is so good. Have you ever thought why you have joy in Jesus Christ? Why we can have such confidence in the God who has saved us? And really, as I thought about this, the reason why we can have the joy in Jesus Christ, the reason why we can have confidence in Him, is because we can trust Him, right? We can trust. If we couldn't trust the Lord, what joy would we have? What confidence could we have in Him? We know beyond a doubt that God will never, ever let us down. He will never let us down. He will always do what He has promised. He's never going to leave us in a lurch. Truly, God is unchanging. I remember I went to the fair last night, and I went through the Varied Industries building, and there's all different types of booths set up there. And there's one booth in particular. There's a kind of a display there, and three doors on it. And there's a young man there, too, and he asked me, and above the display was three things that God cannot do. Okay, and he can open the doors and find out the three things that God cannot do. Okay, he asked me the first thing, and I knew it, and I think I had looked at it before. But what's the first thing you think of whenever you're asked the question, what can God not do? He cannot lie. That's what I told him. Okay. Now the second one, I wasn't quite sure what was behind the door. You know, of course, God can't do any number of things. But what do you think the second one was behind door number two? God cannot change. God cannot change. He is immutable. What about the third one behind door three? God cannot let anyone into heaven who has not been born again. Okay? And I forget the name of the organization, but they were proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there was a young man there that asked me, are you 25%, 50%, 75%, or 100% sure that you're going to heaven? I said, 100% sure that I'm going to heaven. And so praise the Lord for witnesses like that, even at the State Fair. Of course, we have our own booth set up there. The Iowa Association has their booth. Wonderful to have a testimony like that among all the lost people there at the Iowa State Fair. But the wonderful truth, God never changes. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a wonderful promise. We sing the words of the hymn, you're probably familiar with it. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word. Just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. What a precious hymn. And then another one that came to my mind, and it's the name of my sermon, Jesus Never Fails. And it's a great old hymn. Earthly friends may prove untrue, doubts and fears assail. One still loves and cares for you, one who will not fail. And then the chorus goes, Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus never fails. And then the second and third stanzas, though the sky be dark and drear, fierce and strong the gale, just remember He is near, and He will not fail. In life's dark and bitter hour, love will still prevail. Trust His everlasting power, Jesus will not fail. A wonderful message. Jesus will never fail us. Jesus never fails. There's another older hymn. It was in our old red hymnals, Yesterday, Today, Forever. The chorus goes like this. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So time may pass on. Societies may come and go. Empires may grow and prosper and then fall again. All of those things may change, but yet there is someone who is unchangeable in the midst of all of this changing world that we live in. And that is our God who stays the same no matter what. He is our rock. He is our source of hope, our source of comfort. What He says, He will do. And we can claim His promises no matter what. He is not going to fail us. He is not going to let us down. And there's so many passages of Scripture we could go to tonight that encourage us, that are a rock that we can stand upon. Jesus will not fail. Our God will not fail. We're going to go to the Old Testament first of all. Psalm 90, verses 1 through 4. We can take heart from the fact that we serve an unchanging, reliable, loving, and holy God. Psalm 90, verses 1 through 4. Psalm 90, verses 1 through 4. And Psalm 90 is actually a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And we have in verses 1 through 4, Lord, You have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever You had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, You are God. You turn man to destruction and say, Return, O children of men. For 1,000 years in Your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. Our God is a God who existed before time even began. Our God is totally unaffected by time. Yes, He chooses to work within time, but yet God is not limited to time. He really exists above time as we know it. It's not as if God had a beginning. God is eternal. He has no beginning. It's not as if there was a time when we could say this is God's birthday, because God is the great I Am. He has always been. And so God did not have to mature or grow up from infancy to childhood to being a juvenile to being an adult. No. He never developed or grew mentally or spiritually or in any of those things. God never learned anything. Can you imagine that? God didn't have to go to school. How many of you like to go to school and learning all those fun things? James, are you looking forward to go back to school? No. James, how about Amy is, though? Amy likes to learn. Well, you know what? God never had to learn one single thing. God knows everything from all eternity. He never learned one thing. He is the same. God is a great God. He is the same now as He was before He created the world and everything we see. And He is going to be the same at the end of this world, this present earth, and heavens as we know it. There will come a day, as we'll see here soon, when this earth and this present heaven is going to dissolve with fervent heat. But you know what? Even though this earth is going to disappear, it's going to be destroyed by fire, God is still going to be the same. He is absolutely unchanging. And so even though 1,000 years may pass, which seems like a long time in our minds, a millennium, that's a long time. But even though 1,000 years may pass, God has not gotten any worse for wear. How do you think we would be even after 100 years? We're not doing so well, are we? Okay, our mind starts to get a little bit rusty, you know. We may not even be able to think too much at all after 100 years. But God doesn't look any worse for wear after 100 years, or 1,000, or 10,000, or even a million years. If there was a million years, there hasn't been that many years yet. But yet God never loses any of His compassion. He doesn't lose any of His love or His knowledge. He doesn't lose any of that. He is unchanging. He is the omniscient and the omnipotent God for eternity, from everlasting to everlasting. His counsel stands forever, for He is God alone and there is no other. And so isn't that a comfort to know that God is not going to grow into some old man that isn't able to keep his promises? He isn't able to do what he has told us he's going to do. No, he is unchangeable. He is always almighty and all-knowing. He is always trustworthy. We go on over to Psalm 102, Psalm 102, verses 24 through 27. Psalm 102, verses 24 through 27. And here we read, I said, O my God, do not take me away in the midst of my days, for your years are throughout all generations. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak you will change them. And they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. And so, praise the Lord, God created this earth and this heavens that we see right now. We enjoy it. But yet, we realize God's creation, the physical creation, it's not going to last forever. Our bodies, you know, they fall apart, don't they? None of this is going to last forever. And even this earth and this heavens that we see right now, it's not going to last forever. Even as the psalmist said here, yes, they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak you will change them, and they will be changed. One day, God is going to destroy this present heavens and earth, and He's going to create for Himself a new heavens and a new earth. But even though all these things are going to be changed, God remains the same. His years will have no end. Creation is not indestructible. These physical things around us. But God is immutable. He is unchanging. He is indestructible. He is the same. And so we have God and His creation. What a contrast between the two. What a difference between the existence and nature of God and what His creation is. The existence and nature of mankind. We realize, as men and women, we don't last forever. There is a time when we will die unless the Lord comes back first. It is appointed once to men to die and then the judgment. But even during our short lifetimes, we think about it, what do? We sway back and forth, don't we? We are so fickle in the way we think and in the way we act. We go back and forth, you know? We think this way and then we think that way. We do this and then we do that. We go from this behavior to that behavior. We go from being trustworthy to being deceptive. Okay? We can even do that within the same day or within the same hour. How much different we are than the God who has created us. And that's because of the fall, of course. Being changing, being fickle like that. We look at Psalm 103, just one psalm over. Psalm 103, verses 13 through 18. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame, He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those who remember His commandments to do them. And so, we look at our own existence. Yes, we are fleeting. We are so changeable. Our lives are compared to what? To a vapor. It's here now and then it's gone. We're compared to a flower of the field that one day is beautiful and the next day the sun has dried it up and it's gone. But yet, even though our existence is temporal as far as our physical, earthly existence, yet we serve a Lord who is unchanging, who is eternal. And the mercies of the Lord, as we saw in Psalm 103, they are from everlasting to those who fear Him. We serve an eternal, unchanging God. And the attributes of that God are also unchangeable and eternal. There is never going to be a time when God ceases to be the merciful God that He is. Never going to happen. He is always going to be a merciful God. Now, true, God is merciful, but He is holy. And so at times God will display certain of His attributes, but He will never cast off those attributes. He is always the same. We come to Psalm 100, verses 3 through 5. It's because of the unchangeableness of God, His immutability, that people come before Him and praise Him and worship Him. He is the only one who is worthy of our adoration. We read in Psalm 100, verses 3 through 5, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations." Isn't that great? We can count upon the mercies of the Lord. We can count upon His truth. They endure. His truthfulness endures for all generations. We go to Psalm 118 and verse 1. Psalm 118 verse 1. Time and time again, we read this in the Psalms. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever." It is everlasting. We go to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. And what does Jeremiah say here? "The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you." So not only is the Lord everlasting in His mercies, not only is the Lord unchangeable in His truth, and His truth is eternal, but His love is also an everlasting love. He's never going to be a God who is not a loving God. We come to Isaiah, just before Jeremiah, Isaiah 51, verses 4 through 8. Here Isaiah is speaking to Israel, his nation. Isaiah chapter 51, verses 4 through 8. And Isaiah says here, "Listen to me, my people." Isaiah 51, verse 4. "Listen to me, my people, and give ear to me, O my nation. For law will proceed from me, and I will make my justice rest as a light of the peoples. My righteousness is near, my salvation has gone forth, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands will wait upon me, and on my arm they will trust. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look on the earth beneath. For the heavens will vanish away like smoke. The earth will grow old like a garment, and those who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will not be abolished. Listen to me, you who know righteousness, you people in whose heart is my law. Do not fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their insults, for the moth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm will eat them like wool. But my righteousness will be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation." We can trust the Lord. He is a righteous God. He's never going to fail in His righteousness and holiness. He has always been righteousness, but He has always been righteous. He will always be righteous. He is a faithful God. And God is a God also who shows compassion, righteous compassion. And He has provided a way of salvation for His people. All throughout history, He has provided a way of salvation for His people. Truly, He offers it to all. But yet, as we look throughout history, we see His salvation and working out here. And ultimately, it all centers in the person of Jesus Christ, doesn't it? It centers in the person of Jesus Christ. And God's salvation, it's not as if it's just a fleeting benefit. It's not something that is temporary. No, it is eternal. Just as God is eternal. God's righteous salvation is forever. Period. There's no questioning in that. It is sure. That wonderful salvation. And we see it in different areas throughout history. God's salvation was offered to the nation of Israel. It was offered to individual souls all throughout history. We see the salvation even of creation itself. But all of that is made possible through the work of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, just as His Father, is unchangeable. Yes, Jesus Christ is special because He is the God-man. He took upon Himself human flesh and He was born in Bethlehem. And as a man, He grew and matured and He would have learned things. But yet, Jesus is the God-man. And as God, He still is eternal and unchanging. He still is the great I Am. He is God Almighty. The One who is from everlasting to everlasting. And that's why we can read in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, concerning Jesus Christ. Just as his Father, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is immutable. He is unchangeable. It can't be any other way. Jesus, as we've seen so many times Sunday mornings, he is the perfect revealer of the Father. He perfectly shows who the Father is. He is of the same essence as the Father. He and the Father are one. That's what he said in the book of John. And we read in John chapter 14, verses 8 through 11, we have Philip asking him a question in John 14, verse 8. And he says, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves." And so we've seen so clearly in the Old Testament, God is a God who does not change. And his attributes will not change. He will never fail us. And so when we see Jesus Christ on the scene, the God-man, he is the perfect revealer of his Father. And so Jesus Christ is not going to change in his love and his mercy and his compassion and his holiness. And so we can trust God the Son with the same confidence that we can trust God the Father. Jesus and his Father are one. And so we look at all these wonderful truths. What does it all mean for us today? So what? Well, it means that we can have joy. It means that we can have hope and trust and confidence and assurance in that God who has saved us. We can have all those things. But not only that, we must realize that that unchanging God has saved us for what? Why has God saved us? He has saved us so ultimately we can be just like Him. We read in James chapter 1, James chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. Why has God saved us? James talks about this in James chapter 1. God has saved us for a special purpose. And we see it all throughout the Scriptures. But James chapter 1, verses 16 and following. And James says here, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." And so we have the unchangeable God, the God who is above time. He chooses to work within time, and He chooses to save fickle, sinful, terrible people like me and like you. Okay? That is His choice. And praise the Lord for that. It gives Him great glory. So He has saved us, we who were untrustworthy and unreliable and fickle. Before we were saved, yes, we could be counted on to do certain things. We could be counted on that we'd habitually sin. That's the only thing that we could do. We were very trustworthy in sinning and sinning and sinning, rebelling against God. But whenever God saved us, He saved us from that powerful grip of sin. Okay, we're no longer bond slaves in bondage to the devil. We are now in the kingdom of light. And God has called us to live a life of holiness, right? And truly has called us to be more unchanging, just like He is. God is unchanging in His love. We've seen that. God is unchanging in His holiness. He is unchanging in all of His other attributes. And God desires us to follow Him in His unchangeableness. Okay? Now, we aren't going to reach that perfect unchangeableness this side of heaven. There's no way possible. But we can work toward that to become more unchanging as God is unchanging. We stay in the book of James here. And James really highlights the fickle nature of mankind, whether it be unregenerate, lost mankind, or even saved, redeemed mankind. But yet even believers have their sin nature yet, and we still are very fickle. And so we come to James chapter 3. Verses 9 and 10, we see here James talking about the tongue. When we come to verses 9 and 10, see what he says about us and how we use our tongue. James chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Okay, that's how we are by nature. We are very fickle. We go from blessing to cursing. We go from being very kind to being very hateful. That's our nature. And it's reflected in how we use our tongue. And that's why we see in James chapter 3, verse 2, what does James say? For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. And so clearly, yes, we are fickle in the use of our tongues. Just one example, but a very clear example, how we are fickle in the use of our tongues. Very changeable. We can use it for good one moment. We can use it for evil the next moment. Okay, it can change just like that. The changeableness, really the wicked changeableness of us fallen sinners. And really, we can see it clearly pronounced in a born-again believer. Okay, we have the new man fighting against the old man. We have that constant warfare. But our desire should be to use our tongues in the way that Jesus Christ used His tongue. You think about how Jesus Christ spoke. Okay, He was very unchangeable in His use of the tongue. He always spoke what was right. Okay, He was always doing it for God's glory. Jesus Christ never once said something that wasn't good and proper. Okay, He always knew the right thing to say at the right time. He always spoke the truth in love. Now, sometimes He rebuked, sometimes He admonished, sometimes He spoke out in righteous indignation. But all of those things were the right thing to do at the right time. Never once did Jesus Christ use His tongue in a sinful way. He was unchangeable in His use of the tongue. He was unchangeable in His person, and it was reflected in His actions. And it was reflected very clearly in what He said. So that should be our goal, to speak just as Jesus spoke. To act just like Jesus acted. To follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior. We come to 1 Peter chapter 1, very familiar passage. It's very clear, God is unchanging in His holiness. Okay? No doubt about that. God is a holy God. There's not going to be one instance that we can point out where God is unholy, where He has sinned. He is unholy. He is unchangeable, or He is holy, absolutely holy, and He is unchangeable in that. And that's what we must strive for as well, that unchanging holiness. We come to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. And Peter says here, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" That is the standard God has set up for His children. Okay? God is holy. No doubt about that. He is immutable in His holiness. What is the standard for God's children? Be holy, just as your Father is holy. Be immutable in that holiness. That is what we have to strive for. Now granted, we aren't going to get there. We aren't going to reach sinless perfection. But that is what we must strive for. Being unchangeable in our holiness. There is no excuse for us, really, to waver in our holiness. You know, to be holy sometime and then to be sinful. Okay? We realize, yes, we're sinners, but yet we make that choice to sin. There's no excuse. We choose to rebel against our Lord. We want to move away from that and to be more and more holy. We come to John chapter 13. Not only is God unchanging in His holiness, God is unchanging in His love. And that's what we also must strive for. We come to John 13, 34 and 35. Another familiar passage here. And we're just picking out a couple of God's attributes here. But we can list others as well. John 13, 34 and 35. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." God is unchanging in His love. That is the goal that we must strive for, to be unchanging in our love, just like God. And we can think of all these other things. God never lies, does He? God wishes that for us as well. We need to be unchangeable in being holy in that manner, to never lie. That's a huge challenge, isn't it? But yet, and we don't want to get discouraged and think, wow, I'm never going to reach that standard, so I'm just going to give up and not try. No, God has given to us His Holy Spirit. He can empower us to become more and more holy and more loving, to become more and more unchanging as He is unchanging. That's our goal and our desire. And we can encourage one another to do that. What a challenge. And so as we think of our lives, yeah, it's good for us to be spontaneous sometimes. It's good for us to be fresh in various aspects of our lives. But yet we don't want to be fickle in a sinful way. We don't want to be changing how we live our spiritual lives for the worse. Yeah, we want to change, but it has to be changed for the better. We want to adopt an unchanging habit in our Christian life. To follow the steps of our Lord. To obey Him no matter what. To become more and more conformed to God's Son. Lord, we thank You that You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yes, help us to be unchanging in Your love and in Your holiness, even as You are unchanging. We thank You for Your steadfast love for us. You're never going to give up on us. You're never going to let us go from Your ever-present watch care. Yes, praise the Lord. Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to His name. Heavenly Father, I thank You that You are unchanging. I thank You that Your Son, Jesus Christ, is unchanging, that He is trustworthy, that He will never fail. I thank You that You are always loving, You are always holy, You are always doing what is right. I pray that You'd help us to grow to become more like You. Help us to be more unchanging, even as You are unchanging. And so I pray that You'd help us to be set in our holiness and in our love, following the pattern of Jesus Christ. So we do pray that You'd help us with these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
If I should take your blue hymnals and turn to hymn number 470. 470, Footsteps of Jesus. We'll stand together as we sing.
It's very easy to hear these things, to be more like Jesus Christ. It's very easy to sing these words here, footsteps of Jesus. We will follow them wherever they go. It's easy to say that. It's quite another to actually put that into practice. May we strive to do that every day, to follow Jesus Christ, to be loving and holy and kind as He is. May that be our desire. Let us pray for one another. Let us encourage one another. God is faithful and true. He will never let us down. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He is always there to strengthen us and empower us, if only we are willing. Footsteps of Jesus.
Let's sing on the fourth. You've given to us, and we thank You for leaving us the imprint of Yourself as well as of Your Son, as He lived a life that was sinless on this earth and unchangeable. We thank You for the footprints, the steps that You have left for us to simply follow by trusting in You and by reading Your Word, by making it part of our lives. Father, we ask that as we go from this place this evening, that you will help us each to realize the path is laid out in front of us. And as we walk through our lives this week, that we have an example to follow and we know the way we should go. And so, Lord, help us to make the choice to follow in the footprints of Jesus. It's in your Son's name that we do pray. Amen.